taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6-4 baller. I wish I was like 6'9" so I could get with Leo. She could just don't know me, but yo, she is
Yo, Dan, what's up?
How's it going, IT? Feeling good, buddy?
You know me, man. Just getting used to scoring and doing my thing.
That's great. Listen, buddy. I know we've been talking a lot lately about all kinds of personal things, but I just want to give you a heads up that Kobe pulled off a big trade today.
That's great, Dan. This means LeBron must have finally gave up his no-trade clause, huh?
Well, actually, he...
Oh, that's awesome, man. This is finally going to be my team, just like you've been talking about, Dan. This is going to be awesome, man. Dan Gilbert and Isaiah Thomas, we're going to be together for a long time. You're going to be backing up that Brinks truck, and we're going to be making a lot of money together.
I hate to be the one to break this to you, but LeBron didn't get traded.
Well, I can make it work with him. I can make it work with anybody. We must have got rid of Love, right? That bum's been pissing me off for a while.
No, actually, we didn't trade Kevin either.
Well, then who we trade? Who's left on this roster that's got any value? There's nobody that we could have got. Just maybe we got rid of Thompson. Somebody took his contract. Maybe JR, too. Those guys are assholes.
Actually, Isaiah, we traded you.
Oh. Where?
To Los Angeles.
Well, at least I get to play with DeAndre.
Actually, Isaiah, we traded you to the Lakers.
The Lakers? They're really going to sit Lonzo Ball to start me?
You're going to be backing up Lonzo Ball.
Dan, I'll call you back. Hello, Woj? Man, I got some shit to tell you!
Hi everyone, and welcome back to Chris Clem's Cavs Cast. It is exciting to be back with you, especially after last week. As I'm sure you know by now, the Cavs totally reshaped their roster on Thursday's trade deadline. They shipped out some underperforming garbage, and they got what looks to be some young, lively legs that can shoot. And that is the most important thing. Now, on Thursday, I'll be back with a much more in-depth trade analysis on the eve of the All-Star breaks, but since tonight is their last game until the All-Star break, they got a week off, I figured I'd get this to you quick and we could talk for a little minute, and we'll see how they do tonight against the Thunder, which should be a much more interesting matchup than the Atlanta Hawks, but probably not as interesting as on Sunday, where the Cavs, the new-look Cavs, went into Boston to the, whatever it's called now, the TD Bank North Garden Center, the Boston Garden, we'll just call it that, where Paul Pierce, a traditional Cavs killer and LeBron hater slash rival, was getting his jersey retired. It was a big deal. The entire city, the fan base, everybody's eyes were on Boston on Sunday to see this. And they expected their beloved Celtics with their newfound hero, Kyrie Irving, the same man who's doing the exact same thing that he did in Cleveland, but now he's the man. Why? Because he plays in a traditional media market. As a matter of fact, the show Cheers was still on. I bet Sam Malone or maybe Norm or Cliff would be watching on there. Wow, that Kyrie Irving is he's a hell of a player, and they would love him, but it's not. It's 2018. It's reality, and the reality that happened and that exists in this plane, in this one of many possible parallel dimensions and universes, is that the Cavs went into Boston and beat the shit out of the Celtics on their big night, retiring Paul Pierce's jersey. Doc Rivers was in the front row. Kevin Garnett was in the front row. Rajon Rondo left the Pelicans to be there for this, and they all witnessed a classic Cavs beatdown. And they went in there, they spanked them. The Celtics didn't even score 100 points. And I know you're saying, yeah, the Celtics are a terrible offensive team, but the Cavs are the worst defensive team. They're garbage. But they went in there, Rodney Hood looked great. George Hill looked like a point guard the Cavs haven't had for years. He actually was moving on defense. He was quite the difference maker. Larry Nance Jr. living up to his father's name, and Jordan Clarkson looking like he could be a supreme six-man candidate off the bench. They all fit in. They're all happy. Kevin Love traveling with the team was celebrating, dancing on the sideline. LeBron, I'm sure as everybody's seen by now, was just doing hand motions and waving all over. They looked like a different team. And Friday was enough for me to say that they won the trade. They could have just cut those guys, and they would have won the trade. Because on Friday, they didn't have any new guys, and they looked like a completely different team. And all this, and it also centers around the return and the revival, the debut, the show out, the coming out party for the Turkish Delight, big Jetty Osman, and he's looked great. The Cavs, they got a new lease on life. And I saw some people online were saying, well, remember the last time the Cavs made that move and they brought in all those guys in 2008 and it didn't work out that great. They didn't fit in time. And then the next year they weren't quite as good. This is completely different. That was the Cavs trying to get a new supporting cast for LeBron. These guys are just filling in the cracks. You already got LeBron. You already got Love. That's two all-stars. You still got Thompson and JR, despite how they might have played at some points in the season. You still have four guys from a championship team. You still got your three-point specialist in Kyle Korver. What they needed were defensive upgrades, a new point guard, and some guys that could shoot. And they filled all those roles. They got younger. The only guy who's older is George Hill, and he's got a lot to prove. And basically, he hasn't even played yet this season because he's given no effort in Sacramento. So he should be fresh and rested for the stretch run. It's exciting. It's fun. It makes me happy to be a Cavs fan. And it doesn't matter how it ends up because I could not watch Isaiah Thomas the Lesser another game. I hated him when he was in Boston. I tried to like him in Cleveland, but I just couldn't because he was still Isaiah Thomas the Lesser. And with every little smart thing that came out of his little runt mouth, I lost even more interest in him. How are you going to call out anybody on the team? How are you going to call out any coach when you are statistically speaking having the worst season of any rotation NBA player in almost 30 years? Shut your mouth. I honestly think me, some random other guys out the street, you want somebody to go out there and shoot the ball and shoot 28% while being the worst defender in NBA history? Let's just sign a guy off the street because we don't need to pay Isaiah Thomas the Lesser for that. So when people said this trade might not be good for the Cavs, I have to question what the hell they could possibly be thinking, because if you watch this game, you would see that the only way they could be worse than they are now is by playing Isaiah Thomas more minutes. And he's gone in LA and we never have to talk about him again, which makes me happy. Now, we could get in-depth later. On Thursday, we'll talk more about maybe Rodney Hood. Could he be around for a while? How they fit? We'll get to talk about how they played against the Thunder. But for now, I'm just going to be happy. Enjoy the fact that they finally, not finally, but they didn't blow the game against the Hawks on Friday. And they looked awesome against the Celtics on Sunday. I couldn't be in a better mood right now when it comes to the Cavs. And frankly, I don't see how it's not going to be looking up. Do I think they're going to go back to the finals again at this point? Yes. Can they? They win the finals? No. But it doesn't matter because this season went from one that was so depressing to me that I didn't even care anymore. I watched all the games, but I couldn't come here. I couldn't talk. I didn't have anything to say because they made me sick. And now I'm super excited and every game has become appointment viewing again. So thank you. And right now we're going to play a voicemail I got from Stan the Man in the Bay Area.
Behind enemy lines with Stan the Man in the Bay Area.
The whistles go woo!
Yo, what's up, Chris Clem and the Cavs Cast listeners? This is Stan the Man out here in the Bay Area. And I'm just calling in to say I am so happy about the trades the Cavs made. That night, LeBron, JR, Tristan, and our core group of guys we still got played their asses off, making sure that they showed Gilbert to go all in for this year while we still have the greatest basketball player of all time. LeBron had the greatest block of the year, the greatest shot of the year, and showed the ownership and Kobe the trade deadline analytical Mamba Altman. That's our GM, baby. He's out there flexing today. He got work done. He got work done. I love George Hill. I'm actually, that was the one that I was not the most thrilled about. I'm more thrilled about Nance Jr., Rodney Hood, Jordan Clarkson, but the more I watch the film on George Hill and study his three-point shots and his percentages and his long-ass arm, he's got a wingspan like a damn California condor. Same thing with Hood. We're going to have younger, more athletic, faster, and good defensive players to match up against anyone. We're going to sweep the East, and I honestly think now we can challenge the Rockets, the Warriors, or Thunder, whoever makes it out of the West. Let's do it. I'll be wearing my Cavs gear with pride out here in the Bay Area this weekend. There's trades probably saved our season. We're all in. Go Cavs. Peace.
Thank you, Stan. And thank you, everybody, for listening. It's fun again to be a Cavs fan. I'm just happy that they got rid of Isaiah, and I'm happy that the team has totally been reshaped. And honestly, I couldn't be in a better mood right now when it comes to the Cavs. Here's looking forward to that Thunder game tonight. Hopefully they make a good showing and they pull it off. We go in the All-Star break and cheer for Larry Nance at the dunk contest. I will talk to you guys later this week. Go Cavs! Chris Clem's Cavs Cast is brought to you by Chris Clem. The Cleveland Cavaliers do not support, endorse, or in any way approve of this podcast. If you'd like to get a hold of us, our phone number is 330-822-2296. Or you can email me at c4podcast@chrisclem.net. Thanks for listening. Hey, it's Chris. I know the show ended, but I had a few months off from doing a podcast, about two, and this was a message that I got on the voicemail line, which you can call and leave a message for the show, which I will play if it's legible and it makes sense. That's really all that I'm looking for here, at 330-822-2296. And this call is from Damon the Dog Walker. And while it is from November 22nd, I think it is eerie, scary, and spot on how he describes Isaiah Thomas in this Cavs season. And I think it's fascinating now to listen to in light of what happened with the trade. I'm not going to say he called it, but he called it. And now, a call from
Damon the Dog Walker! Come in!
Chris Clem! Hey, it's your boy, Damon the Dog Walker. And, well, I'm an episode too late, because I hadn't even listened to your rant about Kyrie before I tweeted at you. Pretty much the exact same sentiment. Kyrie, I'm not even going to say that he's playing worse than he was playing last year on the Cavs. I'm going to say he's just the same. I go on Instagram, I see the House of Highlights account, and they love Kyrie. They jerk off to Kyrie on that account. And I watch, and I'm like, yeah, same shit, different day, different team. It's the same stuff. He's selling the same product, new neon. This is what Kyrie is. He's an amazing player. There was a reason we were upset that he wanted to leave. But he's not better. He's not suddenly an MVP candidate just because there's no one better than him on the team. He doesn't have LeBron around anymore. And that's why he wanted to leave. He wanted to get out of LeBron's shadow. And maybe this proves that point more than ever. Maybe this actually gives credence to what Kyrie wanted to do, is get out of LeBron's shadow. Because now he is legitimately the best player on that team. and he's getting more attention. Now, the record does have something to do with it. The record absolutely has something to do with it, and all the young talent around him also has something to do with it. They see that. They see him as the leader on that team, and they're like, he's an MVP candidate. He's an MVP candidate. He's completely reimagined himself, and he hasn't. It's bullshit. He's the same player. He just doesn't have someone else on the team that's better than him in LeBron James. All right? And look, the MVP award is bullshit to begin with. It's the Oscars. It's political. It doesn't matter. All right? If the Oscars were fair, Daniel Day-Lewis would win every year. And you know who would win the MVP every year if the MVP actually mattered? LeBron fucking James would win the MVP every year if it actually meant most valuable player. It doesn't. It means the most popular player or the player of the year in Steph Curry's case. LeBron is the most valuable player in the NBA. You cannot argue otherwise. Or if you can, you will be put to shame by either myself or Christopher Clem. Kyrie is not an MVP. He's a very good player on a very good team with a lot of youngsters around him. And it looks good right now. They're playing very well. But guess what, Clem? I agree with you. I ain't scared of the Celtics. And I know that, you know, when we beat them, they can say, well, wait till we get Gordon Hayward back. I'm like, okay, fine. LeBron might not be here then. You know, if we win the championship, he'll stay. If he doesn't, all bets are off. I don't know what the guy's going to do. But the Cavs are going to be fine. The Cavs are finally pulling it together. They got a nice little winning streak going. LeBron himself said it was the worst training camp he's ever had. No, don't cut me off. No, don't cut me off. Let me finish. Can I finish? Let me finish. Okay, fine. I'll leave. Sir, let me finish, and then I just want to say what I have to say, and then I'll leave. What I was saying was, LeBron himself said that this offseason was the worst he's ever had due to his ankle injury and the season starting 2 weeks earlier. We have more returning more new players on the Cavs than returning players. That's a lot of new bodies and a lot of new, completely different skill sets that this team had to get used to and gel. So there was a lot of acclimating going on, and I think you're starting to see that now. And I said to Chris a long time ago, this regular season is going to be very interesting to me, and I was actually very excited because for the past 3 years, the regular season hasn't really been exciting. It's been, can we just get to the finals? And now there's a lot of different storylines. There's a lot of different things that we have to look for, chemistry, bonding, all that stuff. It's all starting to come together, and I'm very intrigued to see how that continues to go. And then Isaiah Thomas might come back. I don't know. You know, there's no timeline for his return or his expose. There's no timeline set by the Cavs, which to me is a little scary because that to me says that they don't know, which means that they don't want to say anything because they don't want the public to then get upset when he doesn't meet those deadlines. I don't know if we're ever going to see him actually this year. When he comes out onto the court to celebrate, he wobbles like he has two peg legs, as though both of his legs were removed and he is walking on two pirate's legs. He looks comically stiff. It's actually kind of sad to watch. So I don't know when that dude's going to be ready. But when he comes back, you know, what are we going to expect? He might average 15 points a game, maybe. This is a guy who on the Celtics last year was an MVP candidate. On the Celtics last year was an MVP candidate. He's going to come to this team, and just like we said about Kyrie, there will not be one word mentioned about any potential MVP candidacy whatsoever. A guy who last year was the darling of the league and is going to come on this team, and just because of LeBron and who's around him and it being in Cleveland, it's not going to be a conversation anymore. I mean, coming off the injury, it's different. But still, it's so weird. Like, I thought that the Celtics should have traded Isaiah Thomas at the end of this season, last season. I was like, this is the time to trade him. You know, get as much as you can for him right now. And then they traded him to us. And I was like, well, not to us. I didn't mean trade him to us. I meant trade him to some other sucker. But, you know, we got him now. And hopefully when he does come back, if he does come back, he can contribute. But until that time, just enjoy the ride, Cleveland. I mean, Jesus Christ. Just enjoy watching basketball. This team is going to get better and better and better. And it's going to be fun.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.